the Ten Commandments. They are pretty straightforward. There's no ambiguity about them. Don't kill. Don't murder. Don't steal. Don't covet. Don't have adulterous affairs. But as we've been noticing here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, God is getting to the heart of the issue with these commands. Now, they may seem straightforward, but on the surface, that's exactly what they are. Down below, there's much more to it, and that's where we're headed as we focus in on the heart of each of these commandments. Now, there is a do not commit adultery, but there's also a path that gets us to the breaking of that commandment, and that's what God is getting us to avoid. Pastor Chris Gordon explores more of this here today on Abounding Grace.
Now, this is important to think about God's will for us in the seventh commandment. Heidelberg is so good on this, that God condemns all unchastity, that we should detest it wholeheartedly and live decent and chaste lives within or outside the holy state of marriage. And anything else he condemns, you'll notice here, of unchaste actions, looks, talks, thoughts, or desires, or what may incite someone to them. Think of all the pornography today. This is important. In one figure, this figure is an imagery here for us to think about, of strong desire in the heart that's fulfilled in anything. He's using this, what is a common scenario to us, of a strong desire in the heart of anything that is sexually immoral, that pulls us away from God's good creative design. Anything. Anything. He's using the common scenario of an unfaithful wife, he might say, tempting and luring a man to commit adultery. And in that way, it's meant to speak to all of us when you understand what the author is doing. Anything, you'll notice here, that is tempting in this powerful temptation of desire and the human sexuality into unchastity is the immoral woman that we are called to be on guard against. That can apply to the single, can apply to the married, applies to all. Sexual sin is, and its lure is powerful. And I love that our catechism seems to focus on this and say this tonight, but also particularly have to say this applies to singles too. Now come back to the discussion. The father says to the son, this is a big issue, son, that you need to guard your heart on. When you're asking the question, why do people run into adultery? It's a big question. I think this Proverbs 5 gives us a little psychology here. An important psychology. Notice that the temptation is accompanied with the attention the immoral woman gives. With her seductive speech, her words have flattered the man. He feels noticed. He feels valued. He feels appreciated. He feels desired. That attention awakens something in us. It awakens the idea that there's something more, that there's a more fulfilling love out there that I can achieve. And what happens as that is awakened is, you'll notice here that what the father is saying to the son, he knows it will awaken the desire of what she's offering him with unbridled sex. Psychologists once said, the kiss that you can imagine making is just as powerful as the act of kissing itself. Adultery begins in the heart. Adultery begins right here in the heart. And the desire imagined is just as powerful and sinful as the sexual act itself. And it's important to observe, there can be a forbidden man in this way who seeks to emotionally entrap the woman. Since this woman's forbidden, the father knows the son might easily entertain the proposition, arousing in his heart the acceptance of her lie. that she can provide this happiness, that she can fulfill him, that she can provide this happiness that he has not pursued with his own life in the daily hardships of marriage. When people commit adultery, that's what we commonly know they express. This sense of a new vitality to life. What people are expressing is a short-lived dose of pleasure that numbs the pain of the sentence of death that we're all under due to the fall. If adultery worked, you know that the going rate is about 6 months for the affair. To throw away an entire marriage? You see what it is? It's a momentary dose of trying to numb the pain of life and our sin and living under the curse. That's why people say, I feel so alive. The mundaneness of marriage, the struggles with raising children, the hardships and discouragements that frequently come, the long-term commitment, along with what is often a lack of love in marriage, its absence, opens the door to that which, with great allure, offers a way to overcome the lifelessness that we're experiencing here on this earth. Life in marriage is hard. This is hard business. It's requiring. And after many years, what happens? You know, they say that a marriage goes through about the first 20 years, and about 20 years, communication really is broken down, and it needs a reignition. We live in a culture today, this makes it all the more worse. It says, you know, you're really entitled to follow your desires. You're entitled to be happy. And what we all want and what we're all searching with this desire to have something more is a sense of what many people have noticed, this desire for emotional connection, freedom, happiness, feeling alive, all this deadness. There's a want of something more than what God has provided in marriage to overcome this curse of the fall. The problem lies at the heart, I think, of what we've come to designate as a midlife crisis, right? I mean, guys get to this and they still want the glory and then they go buy the Corvette, right? That's what we think. Proverbs 5, I think, is really helping us with this. At our weakest moments, son, be on guard. When love is absent in marriage, and your struggle characterizes daily life, and when you're weary and when you're tired, right there, all of a sudden, something forbidden will come that will lure you away into one of the most powerful sins the Bible talks about, sexual sin. It'll bring you a promised release, but it will fail you. The path of adultery begins with this kind of unholy desire to become more fulfilled in love and in the attention of someone who's not our spouse. That's where it starts. The wise father prepares his son for what he knows will be a big test in life. When Eve pondered the fruit, remember this is just what happened with Satan. Satan comes in And all of a sudden, here's this apple, and he begins to lure her with it. And all of a sudden, the thing is looking really good through that attention. So Eve did what? She pondered the fruit and saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes. And that the tree was desirable to make one wise. It's so much better, was the temptation. But the author says, never, son, buy into that lie. It is not. So listen to the consequences, son. I'm going to tell you about the consequences of doing this. And now, O son, listen to me. Verse 7, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. That's been a big theme today, hasn't it? Hebrews, Dr. Godfrey's Sunday School, don't depart from the word. Keep your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house, and listen to the consequences he breaks into. Lest you give your honor to others and your years to the merciless, lest strangers take their fill of your strength and your labors go to the house of a foreigner. What is he saying is something very simple here, something that you have to lay hold and think about, son. Adultery never pays out. God won't allow it, number one. But it will destroy you. And it will destroy everything good in your life. Everything. That's what he's saying. It will destroy you economically. It will ruin your livelihood. All of your strength it takes away. Sin does that, by the way. Sexual sin has the problem of zapping strength. It weakens you. It takes from you vitality. Isn't that ironic? It promises you vitality and it takes your vitality. I'll prove that in a minute. Second, at the end of your life, you will groan when your flesh and your body are consumed. In other words, this is a pathway to destroy your life. And he's thinking seriously about the consequences of what it will do physically to people. Proverbs 7 says this, with much seductive speech, she persuades him. With her smooth talk, she compels him. And at once he follows her as an ox goes to the slaughter, as a stag is caught fast till an arrow pierces its liver. And a bird rushes into a snare. He does not know that it will cost him his life. And then he says, worst of all, it'll take your understanding. In the assembled congregation, it's the last place. You may notice he says that in Proverbs 5. In the assembled congregation, I'm wrecked. How I hated discipline. How my heart despised reproof. You know, it's interesting, even in the secular world, listen to the testimonies of people who've done this and ruined their families, their wife, everything good, and they'll tell you, I should have listened. I should have listened. I did not listen to the voice of my teachers or incline my ear to my instructors. I'm at the brink of utter ruin in the assembled congregation. He's saying that this sin had utterly blinded him and hardened him to all instruction and reproof. I mean, that's what we see when people run in sexual sin. The last place they want to hear from or the last people they want to hear from are the elders. Has adultery ever paid out? God makes sure this sin fails people. God makes sure. It's often resulted in disease and death. How many have lived and said this? Bruce Waltke says, although sexual morality today may not lead to slavery, it still leads to alimony, child support, broken homes, hurt, jealousy, lonely people, and venereal disease. And you never obtain the love you thought you'd get. It certainly doesn't pay out because, most importantly, verse 21, for a man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. The iniquities of the wicked ensnare him, and he's held fast in the cords of his sin. He dies for a lack of discipline, and because of his great folly, he's led astray. So, what does the author do, and what does the scripture do, and what does the Heidelberg do to help us in the positive dimensions of this commandment? Well, it says we should live decent and chaste lives within the marriage that God gave us between a man and a woman. We should love that design, and that's where the author goes here, isn't it? To keep us from adultery, he gives us a positive presentation of the beauties of marriage. A much better way, the father now says, son, and he even uses erotic language in this. Love your wife. The son should always look upon his wife and take delight in her as the gift of God. There's a dignity to that love. He says that here. There's a dignity to that love. You can't take that to the streets. That's for her. Listen to the language. Verse 15. Drink water from your own cistern, flowing water from your own well. Should your springs be scattered abroad, streams of water in the streets, let them be for yourself alone and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth, a lovely deer, a graceful doe. Let her breasts fill you at all times with delight, be intoxicated always in her love. Why should you be intoxicated, my son, with a forbidden woman, embrace the bosom of an adulteress? What's he saying? Love your spouse. Enjoy them. All the energy you give to find love elsewhere in lust, what if you redirected that to love your spouse? I always like to think, you know, I said this up front, but the beautiful truth to remember, the spouse God joined you with was chosen by God for you. Love her. Sure, that requires spending time together. It requires intentionality. It requires selflessness. It requires sacrifice. But that's what servanthood is all about. And if we learn anything from Jesus, servanthood is the most fulfilling life. That desire for emotional connection is to be fulfilled there. I love that God speaks so beautifully here about sex within marriage. Your love's not meant for strangers. Your love, there's a dignity. That's cheap. Let her breasts fill you with delight. The father is encouraging his son to enjoy his wife, to understand her, to know her, to let his love be for her. She's beautiful. She's fascinating. She's lovely. She's God's gift to you. Love her. God provided for all sexual enjoyment to be fulfilled in marriage as we love our spouses in this good design that he gave. Can you imagine if society fulfilled this and we saw that everywhere? Can you imagine the lack of broken homes? Can you imagine how our police would have such an easier time? I could go right down the line here. Can you imagine what society would be like if we listened to this? Our love's not meant for strangers. In the mind or down at the local hotel. And that applies to every form of sexual sin contrary to God's will. Catechism says, why should you flee it? Because you're temples of the Holy Spirit. You've been joined to Jesus. You're in union with him. And because of that, you belong to him. And you don't want to bring anything foreign into that union. And because your marriage is sanctified by the Lord, are designed to tell a better story to this world. Story of the gospel. Your marriage tells the story of Christ's love for his bride, the church. He loved her. He cleansed her. He saved her. Our love is designed to tell a greater story. You know there's forgiveness with this sin. I've preached forgiveness everywhere for all these sins. You know that you can come to the Lord if you're struggling with sexual sin, and a lot of people here probably are. And you know what he promises? He'll wash you, and he'll forgive you, and he'll cleanse you. But the pathway out is to start with your own identity. This is an identity problem, just like all the other sexual issues are identity problems. You're doing this for you. You're trying to create a new identity. But you belong, body and soul, to Jesus. And your marriage is designed as a redeemed saint to reflect that love. I love 1 Thessalonians 3. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. One day, he's going to come. Jesus is going to come get his bride. And he's going to take his bride to himself. And what the apostle was saying to these Christians was, until then, increase your love for one another. Abound in love for one another. And what an appropriate way to say, abound in love for your spouse. Be enraptured with her love, his love. And see the enticement of the forbidden woman as something that will never make good in its promise to give you happiness, but will make good in its promise to ruin everything that's good in your life. Son, says the father, keep your heart from adultery. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for helping us with the seventh commandment tonight. Such an important commandment. We realize that all of us have broken it, for simply to look at lust for one another is adultery in the heart. With you there is great forgiveness, so that therefore you may be feared. Forgive us for all adulteries in our life. Restore us, and let us as believers in our marriages be sanctified. And let us give ourselves more and more to love one another, that we might have a good display and witness of the love that Christ has for his bride, the church. In our culture that's run so out of control into sexual morality, we do realize this commandment provides us this platform to understand all of this. Thank you for giving us a scripture like Proverbs 5 through 7 that gives us wisdom. May your wisdom be in all of our hearts. May our children hear it tonight, our young people, and may we treasure your good creation, for there is happiness, there is joy, there is fulfillment, there is emotional connection, there's everything that ever is needed that is provided, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Pastor Chris will be back in just a moment here on today's broadcast of Abounding Grace Radio. We thank you for spending time with us today. It is always our hope and our earnest prayer that our time together encourages you in your walk and relationship with Christ. Now, to that end, we have a variety of ways that you can reach out to us, along with a variety of tools that you can use throughout the week to further encourage your walk and relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Reach out to us on our website, agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Or if you prefer, give us a call, 888-504-8805. Now, Abounding Grace Radio can be found on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can even visit our website for links to these platforms that you like to follow. Again, agradio.org. You'll also find Pastor Chris's blog there. We do have downloads of previous messages that you've heard here on the program. And if you're interested in redirecting some of your financial resources to Abounding Grace Radio, AG Radio is listener-supported. You, along with others, have seen the value of this program and how it speaks into your life spiritually. So if you're someone who sees the value of this program for your growth in Christ, get in touch with us. No gift is too small or too large, either a one-time gift or reoccurring. It all sustains this program right here on this station. You can donate online at agradio.org or call 888-504-8805, or lick a stamp and send a check through the mail. Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And by the way, if you've got a question for Pastor Chris, he'd love to hear it. Simply fire up your voice memo app on your smartphone, record your question, and then email it to us, questions@agradio.org. It's that simple. If we play your question on the air, we'll let you know when and send you an email back. Thank you again for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.
The old Puritans wrote about usury everywhere. It's amazing how much usury was written on in the Reformed tradition. Lending money at an unreasonably high rate of interest. Sad, isn't it? We must not defraud our neighbor in any way, whether by force or by show of right. In addition, notice the heart of this. God forbids, really what's behind all this, all greed and all abuse and squandering of his good gifts. I think that's why Paul says in the new life, right up front in Ephesians 4:28, that this would become a big focal point. Let the thief no longer steal. Every good and perfect gift we have in this life comes from God, and He has specifically measured out to you what He wants you to enjoy in this life.
Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.